Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message.
Well, we're continuing our series called Essentials, and this whole COVID thing has really forced us to put labels on things. What's essential businesses and non-essential business? What are essential activities in our life and non-essential? Like, fear is one of those things. It's a non-essential in our life, but it tries to act like it's essential. It tries to be a big deal in our life. The essential we actually need is faith. So today what I want to talk about, the essential that we need in our life is peace. In the midst of all of this, you can get so newsed out, you know what I'm saying? You can start to worry a little bit. And so I want to talk about having peace in the midst of pandemic. That's an essential in our life. Jesus said this, and I've used this verse a lot over the last 6 weeks. John 14, 27, he says, I am leaving with you a gift. And it's not a Lexus with the bow on it, you know what I'm saying? This peace, it's a gift, this peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world can't give you. You're not going to get that on Netflix. You're not going to get that on Amazon. It's something that only comes from heaven. It's only something that comes from Jesus. And he says, listen, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. So I can be in the fight of my life. And if I get this heavenly gift of peace, I can live to fight another day. If I'm in the hospital and I keep getting bad reports from doctors all around me, but because I have this gift of peace, I'm going to be okay. And so I have just gnawed and chewed and wrestled on one verse this week, and that's where we're going to go, in Romans chapter 15, if you got your Bible. But as always, we'll put it right here on the screen for you in just a second. And I just found myself going back to this verse. And Paul is writing to believers and Christians in the city of Rome. Now, the city of Rome was the New York City of the day. It was kind of the epicenter of the Roman Empire, but it was also the epicenter of the world. And Roman culture was very strong. I mean, they were a massive military, mighty military. It was a very powerful, very violent, very gladiator. Are you not entertained? You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of culture. It's cutthroat. It's a very strong culture. And that culture, that tough culture, had made its way into the church. And so now you have believers and Christians that should be getting along in Christ. They're kind of scrappling. They're kind of grumbling. And a lot of times it's over non-essential things. I would never eat that food. Well, you're eating a lot of something. I'm just saying, you know. And that's when the gladiator shows up and someone gets the thumbs down, you know. It's on. WWE was born in Rome, except it was real back then, Pastor Matt, just showing you, right? Oh. So Romans chapter 15, and Paul begins to address some of that rough and tough and just strong culture. You even see it in how he writes. Verse 1, it says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. Like, we must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what's right, build them up in the Lord. For even Christ, he didn't live to, if anybody had the right, the authority to live to please himself, it'd be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, it'd been Jesus. But even Jesus came to serve others. He was a ransom for many. And so Paul is just pressing in to this strong culture. You guys need to be considerate. And that idea just, it went over kind of like wearing underwear on your face for a COVID coronavirus mask. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't go over, right? This is a total opposite way of thinking than what Roman citizens and Roman Christians were used to. And so he spends this portion of his letter to the Roman Christians, urging them, begging them, please learn how to walk in unity. Please learn how to make allowances for one another that might be, they're not like you, they don't think like you, they don't eat like you. Matter of fact, as you read Romans 15, you'll even see this idea, you know what, Jesus made allowances for you. Jesus wasn't like you, he was a Jew. But he made allowances for your faults. Jesus made a way that you could be accepted to those of you who aren't Jews. So his encouragement is just be more like Jesus. And then he prays this prayer, it's one verse prayer. And I've gone back to this, and I've gone back to this, and I've gone back to this, and I've gone back to this this week. As we talk about the essential of peace in our life, in Romans 15, 13, he says this. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, would fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's some incredible prayers that are recorded in the Bible. I think about Hannah's prayer. I think about the prayer of Jabez. I think about the Lord's Prayer. And when you think about prayers of the Bible, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, is probably not one of those powerful prayers that pops up. It just doesn't. Matter of fact, a lot of translations don't even treat it like a prayer. The New Living Translation says, I pray that, but the NIV doesn't say it that way. New King James doesn't see it that way. So here's what I want to do today for our time together. I want to take this simple one-verse prayer, and I want to take it chunk by chunk. And I want to let Paul's prayer give us a formula for peace, because I know parents are homeschooling kids, and they're doing their best to help with Algebra 2, right? So we want to get in the math game today. We're going to build this formula for peace. Let me just start with the first chunk, Romans 15, 13. He says, I pray that. I pray that God, the first value in this equation of peace is prayer. Now, I'm just going to act like this is the first time you have ever watched Hillspring at Home. I'm going to pretend you've never heard me preach before, and I'm going to give you something called Pray First, right? Because there are people that are watching this, that Hillspring Church is their home, and they are like, if that man says pray first one more time, I'm going to pray, Jesus, take the wheel, because I'm going to drive my car right through that church. I'm going to try to run over him, because all he says all the time is pray first. Listen, I know we say it a lot because it's really, really important. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And sometimes there is peace missing in our life because prayer is missing from our schedule. And Paul's saying to a big, tough, rough Roman people, to a culture that's influencing the church and it's creating tension among God's people, Paul's saying, listen, I'm praying for you about this, and I pray to God. Just in this season, I want to give you a couple of those big prayers I talked about, because there's some incredible prayers in Scripture. Maybe you want to write these down or what have you. Psalm chapter 3, it's a prayer of David when his life was just absolutely in distress. And it paints this picture of David's pain and his suffering and his betrayal and just all the stuff that's pushing in around him as he cries out to God. But you, Lord, are my shield around me. God, you're my glory. You're the one who lifts up my head. I try to do it on my own, but man, I just get downtrodden. And he says, I call out to the Lord. There it is. I pray to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain, Selah. That's why I picked that prayer right there, is because Selah. No, it's good. Look, verse 5, he says, I lie down and I sleep, and then when I wake up again, it's because the Lord sustains me. The prayer of Jabez, I remember I was just a long time ago, and Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, put your hand on me that I wouldn't, that would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. And I love it says that God granted him his request. Powerful prayer in this, God, put your hand on me in this COVID-19. Lord, protect me, keep me from evil. One of my favorite prayers that's found in the Bible is Paul wrote this to the Christians in Ephesus, to the church in Ephesus, found in Ephesians chapter 3. And there's actually, I think, three prayers in the book of Ephesians. It's a great book to pray through. But I love Ephesians chapter 3. I pray this for you. And I pray this for our church, and I pray this for Christians that are growing. I want to just give you a couple of the verses. And it's like verse 16, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. I love that. I love verse 18. May you have the power to understand. I need that. Man, God is so big and so mighty and so strong. There's nothing that my God can't do. But I need power to understand. And I love this. As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Man, I pray that for you, that you would truly know how deep, how strong, how powerful God's love is for you. There's Lord Prayer. I think it's more powerful if you pray it with a British accent. Our Father who art in heaven. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. God, holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. God, I want your will done here on earth. So the first value in our equation for peace is pray. I pray that the source of hope. So the second thing in the equation, I got pray. And then the second thing is I want you to go. And that's not the same go that you're yelling at your kids. You know, when you're trying to work from home, just go. I don't care where you go. Just go. So mom can go to the bathroom by herself, right? It ain't that go, Krista. You know what I'm saying? And those are eight powerful words. I pray that God, the source of hope. And you can approach this several different ways, right? Obviously, God's the most important word in that, right? Sorry for my handwriting. I have the handwriting of a doctor, just not the brain for it. There's the first four words, and then it's the source of. Did I remember that correctly? What's hopo? I know. I'm sorry. And so you can approach this, like, what makes this verse? What makes this happen? That's a powerful eight words. Obviously, God is central to that verse, right? If you don't have God in this verse, then you have no verse. You have no hope. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like the Sunday school answer when you were a kid. You know, if you don't know the answer, you would just, Jesus, right? Okay, boys and girls, how did David defeat Goliath in battle? Jesus! You know what I'm saying? And then the teacher don't know what to do with that, right? Because it's sort of true theologically. And then you're like, okay, let's talk about Daniel in the lion's den today, right? So you have this, I hope that God, the source of hope. This is a powerful word, hope. We love hope. We name our kids hope, right? We make these beautiful pictures with just one word, hope. Enough said, okay? But that's not what makes this verse unique. And I understand this is the most powerful word. But what gives this verse power, what makes this verse unique is the word the, or the, if you're from Oklahoma, right? Okay? Let me just change this for you for just a second. Let me show you why that word is important. If I mark out the, and I use the word a, I pray that God, a source of hope. Now that's different, isn't it? Paul's very specific. He's very specific about where our source of hope is. It's not, I pray that God, who is a source of hope for you in your life, that he's the source of hope. You know what? Absolutely, Hallmark movies can inspire you. I get that. Ladies, they can help you kind of unwind and calm your nerves. I get it. I get that women find comfort in Hallmark movies. But is it really the story of the movie? Or is it the fact that you're paying your husband back because he left you with all the kids and he went and did social distancing while he was out fishing and he had a little bit too much fun? You know what I'm saying? They're throwing flour again. I mean, it happens in every movie, right? Oh, there's the dog walking. Oh, she accidentally falls into a man's arms. You know, all the Hallmark movies are the same. You just change characters sometimes, right? You got women, they're dabbing tissues, and you got men. Come on, somebody. Listen, Hallmark movies might help you in the short term, but when you wake up tomorrow, all those feel-goods, they're going to be gone. You might have some money in the bank, and that might help you in the short term. But then you remember you have kids, and can we just be real honest real quick, that kids are a continual drain on the system. Even when you die, they're going to come get your money. Okay. So Paul says, I pray that God, not a source, he says, I pray that the source, he's the only continual source that will sustain you. He says, I pray that God, the only source of hope, he will fill you completely with joy and peace. Man, if there was ever a time in this world, if there was ever a time in human history that we needed the source, it's right now. Sure, in our own lives, in our own circumstances, in our own personal worlds, we're going to have those moments where we need a source of hope. When Mimi gets sick or Daddy gets laid off or the marriage goes through some tough times and he's sleeping on the couch or maybe money gets tight. But right now the whole world is looking for a source of joy and peace. And Paul says, I pray that God would fill you with those two things, with joy and peace. The word fill there is not just put a little bit in. It's not. I had to go look it up in the languages, right? It actually means cause to abound, to liberally supply. I'm gonna put it in the BKV for you. Right, here we go. Okay. It's more than you know what to do with. That's what the fill is there. It's not just give you a little bit. It is more than you know what to do with. So I'm going to borrow from my, come on, choir. My daughter Kaylee, she's up here with me. And you still got straight A's in school right now? Okay, she's a good kid. She's a smart kid, right? Okay. And did you and your brother do any home improvement projects yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what did you do?
We scraped paint off of the bathroom wall.
You scraped wallpaper off the bathroom wall. That's right. So listen to me, parents. There is a new elective class at the Kellogg Higher Institute of Learning called home remodeling, right? You know what I'm saying? It is. So her and her brother did a great job peeling wallpaper, and that's what you're doing tomorrow, by the way, too, right? So I just want you to know you're my favorite daughter. You are. And if I could pick out of all the girls in the world, I'd line them up, I would pick you again because you're my favorite daughter and because you work so hard. I just want to bless you right now. And I know you love Dr. Pepper, and I'm just going to I just got a little water. Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to, here, just hold. I want to bless you. And I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to fill. Okay, you're good. There you go, right? I mean, I get it. You know what I'm saying? She has more Dr. Pepper than what she had just a moment ago. She was sitting there just taking all this message in. But when the Bible says fill, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying here. It's not saying here. Let me just give you a little bit. Okay. When he says, I pray that God would fill you, it's not just a little bit, it is overflowing. So here's the deal. It's a little bit more than what she had, absolutely, but it's like you got a full can. That's almost a little bit offensive. You know what I'm saying? It's a little bit anticlimactic. All right, give me your Dr. Pepper, sit down. All right. I want to be filled with peace and joy, some crisp, sparkling. Fill that thing to the top, Daddy. Come on, somebody. And it's ice cold, and it makes it burn when it goes down. That's what I'm talking about. So how do I get filled? And Paul says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And we'll pray. I'm going to go to the source. The third part of the equation is trust. That's how I get the joy and peace, and that's how I get more than I know what to do with. Okay? Trust. All right. I got the same question you do. How does trust give me peace? I want you to think about this. This is not a Merriam-Webster definition of trust. Let's just get into the psychology of trust for just a minute. When I trust someone, in a way, I'm giving them power over me. When I trust someone, in a way, I'm giving them control over me. Like if I trust you with vulnerable or valuable information, listen, I don't need you posting this out on Facebook. What I've done is I've given you silent power over me because I'm vulnerable with you. You can make or break me what you do with that information. And so now I trusted you, so you have this little bit of control over me. I trust you with a task. Hey, I need you to do this job. You know what I'm saying? In a way, I'm giving you power over my success. In a way, I've relinquished some control to you over my success. In a practical term, to trust means to relinquish control to. Now, I have learned this about myself. I actually enjoy meetings that I do not have to lead, okay? Because if I'm not in charge of the meeting, I don't have to control the agenda. I don't have to worry about if somebody's going to get mad. I don't have to worry about if somebody's going to bring up something tense. Ooh, we weren't supposed to talk about that, but they done brought it up. When you got that kind of meeting going on and I'm not in charge, this is what I do. I sit back and I eat popcorn. And I watch the show. Hey, I think you need to bring that thing up. You know what I'm saying? And I just watch. I don't have to worry if a fight breaks out. I don't have to worry if someone cries. I don't have to worry if someone yells. I just kind of sit back. Enjoy the show. I have discovered I love going on trips where I just get to go. You know, I used to be the guy that would lead mission teams. You know what I'm saying? Until I went on a team that I wasn't a leader. A guy named Will Holder invited me to go to Honduras with him. He's now Pastor Will. The Lord moved in my heart in that moment. You know what I'm saying? After that moment, I realized I don't have to be in charge anymore. I don't. All of a sudden, I didn't want to be the guy anymore. Oh, you didn't make it to the airport? That's too bad. You forgot your passport? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You left it in a village in Honduras? That's too bad. You're not going to catch your flight? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I ain't in charge. Ain't my problem. It's Will's problem. That's what I hired him for. Oh, we're going to be late for lunch? It don't matter. I got popcorn right here. I'm fine. I'm good. I love being able to trust someone to lead a meeting. I love being able to trust someone to lead a trip. I've learned to trust and let someone else control. And when you get there, there is peace. I'm just telling you. So can I talk about your stress right now for just a minute? Anybody else tired of Rona? I need Rona to go home. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the funny is gone. I have seen every funny little picture and every little toilet paper meme. I've binge watched everything there is to watch. Come on, somebody. And we're what's June going to look like? What's graduation going to look like? Do I get to go on summer vacation? When does everybody get to go to work? Do I have to homeschool my children for one more day? Jesus, take the wheel, you know? And sometimes we are worrying about things we absolutely have zero control over. Some of us are stressed out about things right now. And there is not one single thing that you can do about them. But what do? We worry. I've noticed this about our culture. We complain. And we get a little bit pessimistic. Well, I don't know whose decision it was to shut all them schools down. But good Lord, they just don't know what that's doing to a mama. You know what I'm saying? Sure causing me a lot of stress. Have y'all been to Walmart? Who let all those people out? I can't even get in the store. All these people are out and about. What are they even doing up in there? I don't even know. Well, why are you out? Well, honey, I needed Dr. Pepper and popcorn. You know? I just needed to get away from my kids for an hour. I needed to go to Walmart, right? And our lives are full right now, but they're not full of peace and joy. As a culture, we're stepping into that. We're full of pessimism and criticism and griping about what I have absolutely no control over. And I want us to be a people of peace in a world of pain. Not pessimistic. Peace is the essential. Pessimism, that's the non-essential. Not now. Not now. Listen, the leaders that I know, they are daily praying and asking God for wisdom. The leaders I know, the decision makers that I know, they feel the weight of all of this. They know when they sent your kids home for homeschool, they know there's a lot of tension. It's costing them sleep at night. You see what they're doing up there at that Walmart? It's stressing me out. Yeah? You want some popcorn? I'm just watching the show. And it's a good one in a Walmart parking lot. You know what I'm saying? One of the keys to being full of joy and full of peace, get yourself out of the driver's seat. Trust God. Paul said that is the key to a life that is full of joy and full of peace, is that you trust. I'm going to give God control of the situation because I can't fix it anyway. Everybody say, I love you, Brent. Listen, you control freaks. You are all wound up like an 8-day clock. And I know some of y'all don't know what that means, but it means you just wound up really tight, okay? You are living in the red right now. Your emotions are running high because you can't control everything. And Paul says, trust is the key for you to have peace and joy in this situation. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Here it is. There's the equals part of our equation. Then, when I do that, when I pray, when I go to the source, when I give God control and I trust, then you will overflow with confident hope. And that only you can't do that. That only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to the source. I'm going to trust that God will take control and He will fill me with joy and peace. Number four is overflow. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go. I'm going to trust. I'm going to flow. You know, a little DC talk rhythm going on. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go. I'm going to trust. I'm going to flow. And I want you to be a people that are living in the overflow of God's peace. I want us to live in the overflow of hope and peace and joy. And I'm just telling you, that's only going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you try to overflow on your own, you're going to end up burned out. Anybody COVID burned out? I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? It's been real. It's been fun. But it ain't been real fun. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk to my burned out people for just a second. This is how I know I'm burned out. This might be a sign for you too. I come to this place, I don't care. I don't care what you do, just don't make a mess that I have to clean up. Come on. I don't care what you do, just don't do it around me. Okay? And so we just kind of check out, kind of like Pastor Joe is right now in the middle of this mess. I'm just kidding, buddy. Love you. I'm easily offended. Living in pessimism a little bit, and kind of living in the red of life's odometer. Everybody around you is walking on eggshells. You know it's bad when the dog don't even like you. You know what I'm saying? And so you just kind of easily offend everyone, and everything is so dumb. Listen, I'm talking to me right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to meddle all up in your quarantine burnout. I'm just talking about, this is what happens when I get burned out. I feel unproductive. I'm grinding, but I just don't feel like I'm getting anything significant done. I'm probably not as productive because I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm depressed. Everything feels hopeless. And then that cycle for me, it starts all over again, and I just don't care. And I'm easily offended. I feel unproductive. And I know some of you in this moment right now just discovered that you were burned out on your children. I totally get that. Baby, you need to pray, go, trust, and flow. Because I want you to live in the overflow of joy, peace, and hope. And that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit of God doing a work in you. I want you to pray, go to the source. I want you to give God control, trust, and overflow. Pray, go, trust, and flow. Come on, this week, let's live in the overflow. Let's be a positive person, not a pessimist. And this is what I believe. I believe that God is going to put somebody on your heart that whatever means is best, I want you to reach out to them and just encourage them. Maybe it's a text message. Man, if there was ever a time that we needed to connect, humans were created for connectivity. If there was ever a time that we needed to care for one another and connect with one another, it's right now. So I'm just encouraging, man, just reach out and connect, and let's live in the, let's have so much of God's hope, peace, and joy in us that it's an overflow onto other people that are around us. Pray, go, trust, and flow.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.